Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Paul White, and it's the 14th of July. We're approaching the midway point, and we are about midway through, we're not quite midway through the first chapter of 1 Peter. We're on this journey through Peter's epistle, and we have arrived in the 9th and 10th verses, so no, we're not quite halfway. There's 25 verses in the first chapter. Moving a little bit slow, that's okay. We may pick up the pace as we approach certain passages. This is one today where we may do 9 and 10 together. Receiving the end of your faith. Remember, we're coming out of 8 where we have joy unspeakable and full of glory because we know a Jesus we have not seen. We believe in a Jesus we have not seen or known physically. And we have a joy accompanying that faith. Of receiving the end of your souls, the salvation of your souls, receiving the end of your faith, which is the salvation of your souls, of this salvation. The prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. Let's break this down. Peter talks about joy unspeakable, full of glory, and knowing, believing in a Jesus we don't know, and that the end of our faith will be the salvation of our souls. I don't think salvation should be a term we bandy about as a one-time event that happened to you a long time ago. And it's okay. We say things like, when did you get saved? We know what we mean. But if we only look at salvation as an experience an experience in our past, instead of a present possession and something we're moving on into, then we may not have a complete understanding of salvation as the New Testament did. The end of our faith is the salvation of our souls. Why would we need faith past the salvation of our souls? We don't. But the salvation of our souls is not just this past thing. The salvation of our souls is an ongoing thing. We are being delivered every day from the things around us, being set free every day. Saved of, now how do I know that? Because look at 10, of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully. This is what the entire Old Testament was leading up to. Not simply a one-time event called the cross, but a complete event called circumcision of the heart. Remember, way back in Deuteronomy, God is telling Israel to have their heart circumcised. They didn't even know what that meant. How do you have your heart circumcised? You just mentally ascend towards that? Personally, I think when John the Baptist starts baptizing people unto repentance, they're heading towards a heart change. It's the best they know to do. But they need Jesus. They need the one who comes after John, who's preferred before John. They need the baptism of fire, because only that will burn up the chaff, all the junk that's in our hearts. That's the circumcising of the heart, by the way. The prophets were looking forward to that. Now, of course, we can point at moments like Isaiah 53 that talks about the cross, even though the word cross is never mentioned, but he's wounded for our transgressions and he's bruised for our iniquities, so on and so forth. That's definitely a prophecy of Jesus and his death, but the overall salvation of Israel and the people of Israel and of the world at large is the message of the prophets. They inquired and they searched carefully and they prophesied of what? And I think this is an amazing moment at the end of 1 Peter 1:10. They prophesied of the grace that would come to you. And the phrase "that would come" is actually not in the original Greek. So it says this, they prophesied of the grace to you. Now, that's how Paul and Peter opened their letters. Remember verse 2? Grace to you and peace be multiplied. They are simply working off of what they see to be the great theme of the Old Testament. Prophesying of a moment when grace, the favor of God, would be the operative way in which God would deal with man in the world. Now, I'm going to give you one. I think it's to your glory to go look up more of them. I'm going to give you one moment of the prophets searching diligently and inquiring and coming up with grace. And it's from Zechariah. Zechariah is one of my favorite Old Testament books. And he is my favorite of the Old Testament minor prophets. It's probably because there are so many good preaching things that happen in the book of Zechariah, things you can preach in the New Covenant. My favorite, and for anybody who has read my book Between the Pieces, you know my love affair with the 11th chapter of Zechariah, that amazing prophecy of the shepherds and the breaking of the covenant that God has when he's given 30 pieces of silver. I see powerful moments in Zechariah 13 where the shepherd is smitten with a sword. Jesus quotes that seventh verse of Zechariah 13 when he is on his way to the cross and that the sheep scatter. I love the visual of the priest and the opposition by Satan. Anyhow, there are all kinds of stuff. I'm even considering doing a brief set of DDPs in the future out of the book of Zechariah. Maybe not a verse by verse through Zechariah, maybe, but maybe not. But maybe go find some of those grace moments. Well, here's one. And this is the one I want to share with you, and then you can go find some of your own, because believe you me, Zechariah has his, not only Zechariah, but the whole Old Testament, they have a lot of them. Here's Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. He answered and said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it." What kind of mountain can stand in front of you, the child of God, when you shout grace, grace to it? As Jesus would say, you've been given the authority to speak to the mountain and it be removed. What does Jesus want you to speak to the mountain? And by the way, he's no more talking about a literal mountain than Zechariah was. He wants you to speak grace, grace to it. And the Old Testament prophets were mining out grace, and that's what we're trying to do here as well. We'll move on tomorrow. Actually, tomorrow is a little different. I've got some things I want to talk to you about, and I want to play for you a little 3-minute clip, never aired, from a sermon I did. I had to cut enough content from that sermon to get it down to size, and I wanted to give you 3 little minutes that I thought might be of benefit to you. And I'll introduce a couple of other things to you tomorrow. We'll see you then. God bless.